So was out for a little bit. Heard Matt did a great job, and we're still doing What Is Love, and we're almost done. What is love? And so we're kind of in the interesting What Is Love. So early on, it's all about like the stuff we really want to know, you know, about relationships within marriage and parenting and people and things. And we've kind of moved to the earth and the government, and today it's about vocation and the relationship we have with work. And what should that be? I don't know how many of you love your work, but the question about your first job, if you first have to interact with vocation, which just means calling. And we'll learn more. I'll tell you more about calling, but just to start off with the first job, you know, if you can remember, I think most of us, it was pretty exciting getting the first job, even if it was a paper route in Maine or Dairy Queen. Where was the Dairy Queen? Here? Nice. Dairy Queens and dishwashing and Kmart and a lot of these fun jobs. My first job was, I had friends who told me to do this. They did it the year before. They said, if you go down to the pool, so there's Seattle and then Kirkland is across Lake Washington. Kirkland is where I grew up. There's a little local pool. And they said, hey man, if you go to the Kirkland Center, city center, and you tell them you will, you'll volunteer to work in the teach swim lessons, volunteer, after like a week or two, they'll hire you. It's like, really? So I was like 14 or 15. And I said, yeah, but you can't teach kids like in the deep end. It'll be in the shallow end. It's just little kids, and if they like you, you'll get hired. And so I said, all right. So I went through all the rigmarole, and I figured it out. And then you have that moment, though, where you're like, what if they don't hire me? It's kind of a waste of a summer. But that's a little bit scary. But then you're also, when you're a kid, you know, you're so bored when you get around teens, you're kind of like high school, you know, summer's kind of boring. This is also before really good, like, gaming systems and the internet. So you got bored. There's only, like, five channels, you know, and the Olympics only happened once every 4 years, so there wasn't a lot to do. So you're like, okay, I just remember the excitement of getting that job, and then you got the job, and I figured out how to get there, and there's all these learning curves, and I had to ride the bus to get there, and then when I got my first paycheck, I was so excited, but then I was horrified because even then, the government, like, you look at what the government takes, and you're like, what? This isn't right. Why is, like, $100 missing? I only made, like, $200. It's like, yeah, it's the government. I'm like, what? Oh, well. Still, $100 is good. Then I went and I bought, like, a speakerphone at the mall. I went, like, a shopping spree with my money. It was so exciting. This is like my first, and I bought like a speakerphone, and back then Georgetown was like a really good basketball school, and I got one of those kind of silky Georgetown, said Georgetown across the front, and I bought like a hat. It was great. It was pre-thug life, and I invented it. It was so fun. And then after a while, you get the job, and then it's like, oh, I gotta go to work, and you know, and there's like this ebb and flow to work, and it becomes more of a burden or toil. And so sooner or later you have to, luckily when you're a kid you get to go back to school and you can kind of forget the job and you're appreciative of it. Some of us were able to do that, not all of us. But there's this relationship with work, and the temptation is to go, work is all bad, work is stupid, if I could just not work I'd be happy. And most of us know that's kind of not true, but it's still in the back, you know, you still have moments where you're like, ugh, work. And so I just wanted to explore today God's idea on work, and you already know the story of creation. Work is actually one of, there's very few things that happen before sin enters the world. I mean, there's like two chapters of the Bible, and then at the end there's like two chapters of the Bible. There's like maybe four chapters in the whole Bible where there's no sin. It's very, the bookends. Well, one of them is God created us to be fruitful and multiply. And he says, I want you to manage, I want you to subdue, I want you to work the land, work relationships, but you do this with God and with each other. And so before sin, Adam, you know, he named all the animals. He's pretty smart. And it wasn't like, oh, I gotta name the animals. Oh, I gotta organize things. I gotta work in the garden. I'd much rather just sit and do nothing. You know, he was excited about it. It was a joy for him. Because God created humans in his image. And part of his image is we are created to create. We are created to work and manage and solve puzzles. You know, and there's a part of that that's a lot, that's really fun for us. But then, you know, the curse thing happened. And one of the main specific curses on mankind was that now the earth, and Matt talked about this last week, the earth is going to reject you. And it's going to be toil, and it's going to be hard to work the earth. So you're going to, we're going to engage working and a calling. Vocation means called. And it means you're called to do the things that actually are right in front of you. So Adam, he was called, he was created, put in this world, and it's like God says, now do what's in front of you, which is be fruitful, multiply, subdue, have dominion, grow this thing out. So I want to demystify the word calling, because I know a lot of us are like, I'm searching for my calling in life. And so right from the very beginning, I want to tell you, God does not play hide and seek. He's not like testing you and saying, if you do this good, I'll give you the job of your dreams. Oh, you did it bad. And that's how it feels, right? Like, God, why? But he's not into that. That's not God at all. God's not the one like messing with you, with your careers. And he's not saying, wait for some big special calling. The idea of calling is do what's in front of you right now. So Adam was called, he was put there, and his work was to work the earth and to be fruitful. And there was joy, and there was meaning, and there was purpose in that. And so the idea of vocation and work is not, it's not just make money, it's not just find meaning and purpose in work. It's actually who we are created just to do it for a lot of reasons, because it's who we are. And so just get that out of the way, right? You're all with me. And so work is good. It's also cursed. So how do you break the curse? You know the answer. How would we break a curse? One word. Jesus. Squirrel. Right. Blessing is a good word too. Blessing and curses. We break a curse by inviting Jesus into all these things. And so when we engage work, it's just like every other relationship. This is what we've been saying. God is love. So relationships were created to work with love. We just always think we have to bring our own love to it. Or we have to think someone else didn't bring their love to it. There's like two realms. In this realm, yeah, that's how laws work, you know? Like you jump off a building, you fall. That's a real law. But in this realm, all the law has been fulfilled by Christ. It's all faith, and it's you're good, and you're forgiven, and you're loved. We live at the same time. We, a lot of times, try to apply, in this world, we're wanting people to bring love that they don't have. We want love from God. So even in our work, we want joy and meaning and purpose, and we want everything to grow, but we want it to happen from other people, or we think we have to come up with it. And so the good news is, no, first of all, God delights in you. He wants to see you flourish. Do you believe that? He wants that. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. He's not trying to withhold that. He's not trying to mess with you about that. He wants it. In my backyard, like a year ago, there was this beautiful blue jay, and it was just on the ground. I was like walking around the corner, and I saw it, and I kind of walked towards it, and it was doing one of these things. It's hopping, right? And I'm like, come on, get out of here. And I didn't do that. I just looked at it, and I noticed something's wrong. It's hobbling around. So what did I do? I thought, maybe I'll try to help it. And as I approached it, it like was like flapping and like making more of a scene and was going away from me. And I was like, okay, just relax. And so, just heads up, there's no happy ending to this. There's no real ending. What happened was I was like trying to get near it. It wasn't coming near me, and it was hurting, obviously. I noticed it's not flying. It's hobbling. And I just was sad. So I didn't. But every time I tried to get near it, it was like going against the fence and like freaking out. And I was like, okay, all right, I'm not that comfortable with wild animals. So I said, God, help that blue jay. And then I prayed for it and I left. And then I came back like an hour later and it was gone. So it either got healed or there's a lot of cats downtown. I don't know. But here's the point of the story. Yeah, I know. And I know. So many of you here would have known what to do better than me. So I have to ask, forgive me, God, and I trust God. But the point is, when God sees us struggling with work, struggling to find work, struggling to find a career or fit in where we're at, he's not like, try harder. He's actually moving towards us. And it's so rooted in our minds, I think sometimes we flap. And we're like, no, I'll do it. I'm fine. And we get eaten by a cat. And God's like, I want to be a part of this because I created you with desires. I created you with all these gifts and these callings on your life. And I want to, the only way it's going to work is if you receive the love of God into that. Then you can live as you were created to live. And so God doesn't want to withhold desires. He wants you to fly. He wants you to be the best doctor and the best candlestick maker. I'm trying to find a career no one has. God wants you to be the best and flourish because he knows how you were created. And so as we engage callings and vocation, the first thing is to recognize you will not find your meaning in life. You will not find complete happiness. You will not find the source of your life. You will not find approval. You will not find any of that stuff in work. That is not the job of work for you. And by work, I mean some of us are students. Some of us are, we have many vocations. Being a mother is a vocation. Being a husband or a wife is a vocation. Being an employee, of course, is a vocation. Being anywhere that you're interacting is a vocation, is a calling. Do you understand? So you have many vocations, and we go through seasons too at times. So the first thing I want to look at in the scriptures is Ephesians, because I have to prove to us that the word of God for us is that he delights in you, he wants you to be happy, he wants you to be successful, he wants you to operate within your gifts, he wants you to find all that. He's not against you. He's for you. But we have to first deconstruct the sinful part of work, which is we're struggling, we're toiling, we're working by the sweat of our brow. Why? Because we're trying to use work to provide. It will provide, as we'll learn, but we're trusting in work to provide for us not only things, but happiness and joy. And it doesn't. It'll do that to a certain degree, but we have to start in the right place. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll do verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Here's the key. For we are God's handiwork, or workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And the rest is, the whole book is, this whole letter from Paul is really great, but I have to stop there. I want you to get this, though. We are God's work. So God has a vocation. He has a calling that he takes delight in and that he has desire in. He desires for it to be good, and that work is you. You are God's workmanship. So, like, the first vocation of God is he created you, and he delights in you, which is to be happy and have pleasure, and then he has desires for you. And part of his desires for you are going to be, what do you desire? But first, you have to be set free. That we're not saved by work. Vocation will not save you. Being a pastor, a missionary, doing something spiritual will not save you. Or thinking that you need to do something spiritual, it's all spiritual. It's all created by God. It's been tainted by sin. So what happens is, first, be set free. There's this relationship with God upward, which is faith. And be set free. You are loved. You are important. You are beautiful. Failure will not define you. Nothing else will define you. You have this faith with God. Now, once you have that, and it's all the work of Christ, it's the vocation of Christ. Once you have that, we just need to get that settled every day. And say, God, forgive me. I'm trying to earn that. I'm trying to work with you to get this. And I'm using people, I'm using jobs, I'm using these things. Forgive me. Well, that's scary. But that's repentance. Let that die. And when things die, it's scary. That's why we don't always give up. Because we're like, I still should. What happens if I don't try? If I just think God loves me? Right, it's scary. Yeah, what happens? I don't know. Maybe you go for it. Or maybe there's a God who will provide for you. There's a God who does love you, that you're not alone. That's the first idea of vocation as we go. God, I believe that I'm not alone. You promised to be with me. You promised to provide for me. You promised, you gave me Jesus Christ, and you said in Jesus is a promise that I'm worth being loved. You're going to provide for me. I don't have to come up with my own meaning in life. I don't have to come up with my own way of surviving and having impact. I get that. Now God says you're free. That's upward. Now you're free to love people, love your neighbor. And part of vocation is, so like the vocation of parenting, is you're loving your neighbor. You're providing for your children. You're providing for a spouse. Or it's okay, and it's great to have things. So it's not more spiritual to be broke or become a monk or disengage from the world. That's not more spiritual. What is spiritual is to engage where you live, and loving neighbors is doing the job. So going to your places of work, doing your route, but doing it because now you're not doing it out of fear that God's judging you or fear that people are going to go to hell if you don't do it right or fear that you're going to be broke. You get to do it out of joy and love and say, oh, and I can actually engage the people around me. So there's this upward, that's the faith, and then you're free now to love people and do the vocation you want. So Jesus, his vocation was to die on a cross for you. It's easy to take his vocation and make it yours, right? So now we need to die for people. No, that was specific calling on Jesus' life. It was in front of him to do, and he did it. And he was faithful. And God was pleased. And there's even this little verse in Hebrews that says, why would Jesus do that? He did it for the joy. He suffered the cross for joy because he loves you and he loves me and he knows what you're worth. And if you ever worked a job that's horrible, but you have a reason to do it, you know? I mean, I did roofing in South Carolina, and I have, like, vampire skin. So on a roof in South Carolina in the summer, it's not good for me. But I did it because I was trying to save money for a ring, right? You've heard that story. I sold timeshare for a summer because I wanted to be close to Val. I'm not good at selling timeshare. I don't believe it. I believe in it now after Italy. Thank God. You know what I mean? Like, we do things, and there's seasons. And so some of us have vocations or jobs that we're doing it for our kids. So it doesn't always, don't confuse me and think, we don't always have to be doing, like, my dream job or who I'm supposed to be. At the neglect of the people we love, you know, there's seasons. So you do stuff for a time. And I look around the room, and I mean, a lot of you, we've prayed for jobs, and you're in the middle of a season of hoping and praying that something works out. Or do you remember when you were trying to get into teaching, and or you're trying to get into the job you have now, and it's like, oh, God, it takes time. It takes time, and there's some things I want to break down about it, because I want us to be free from feeling like vocation is just a toil, and I also want us to be free that you're not doing the right thing, or if you're stuck, that there's freedom, that Christ has broken the curse, and he wants you to fly, right? Let's look at Psalm 37. That's page 388. Psalm 37, verse 1 through 9. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. So we look around the world and we're like, man, the world, everyone seems to be making money and having stuff. And the psalmist says, don't fret. And they don't care about God and they're doing bad things. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, there's the cursed land, and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness, your righteous reward, shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. So land is a connection to vocation, to where you live. And the themes are delight in the Lord, trust in Him. There's callings in front of us. How are we going to be a parent? How are we going to be a teacher? How are we going to be a good Christian? These are our vocations now. And we ask God, it's really invite God into that. It's not giving up by saying, God, I don't know what to do. Help me. That's actually, you're starting to do something. And so there's the main area of repentance is we repent of the fear that we're all alone. Because the truth is, you're not alone. Like when we were in Rome, it's the driving. They drive crazy, but I think they drive crazy because it's like no one's going more than 30, 35, you know? It's like 2,000-year-old roads, and they're driving all over the place. And if it was just me, or just Val and I standing there, we would never go. Because you start to go, and like little scooters come out of everywhere, like it's crazy. You're starting to go, and they're like, But when there was a group of people, especially if they were like Italian or local, and they just all started walking, then I would always just go back. Come on, I would shadow with them. And we'd walk with like the herd, because then I figured a car wouldn't bowl through all of us. But in reality, they would. Like I learned by the end of the trip, I'd just step out, cars would stop, and they're like, oh, this is fun. But that's the confidence that comes, and I think the first thing within our vocations is realizing you're not alone. So even if you already have a job, you already have places where you're working. You're not alone. Like God's holding things together. And so you can step out. And you can do things at your work. And you can be yourself. And this is a way to love your neighbor. You know? It also builds up our trust. Because I'm really thinking about, some of us will be at the end. You're at the end or you're at the beginning. There's seasons. And there's some jobs and there's some vocations that you're called to for a while. But then it's time to go. Right? Someone's called that holy dissatisfaction. So like the people in Egypt, God's people in Egypt, it was great for about 400 years. But by the end of 400 years, God's like, it's time to go. Sometimes I think we feel like we can never leave a vocation, you know? But over and over again, God says, no, you'll become more dissatisfied, and that's okay. You're not stuck. And so in our vocations, there's times for risk. If you trust the Lord, you're not alone, and then you take a risk. Almost every job you've ever had, you guys have taken risks and hoped that it worked out. I mean, you can take a job and the company closes down, right? You realize that. Maybe. A lot of things could happen. So the more we trust the Lord and say, God, I'm trusting you to provide for me, not this job. I mean, thank you for using the job. I'm not alone. So when things look shaky or when you make a mistake and you deserve to be fired, not alone. I want to move on. I might have to take some risks. I might have to step out and do things. And I also want to say, I think of Don and everybody. None of this stuff happens quickly when you're changing, right? Like we pray for 6 months. We pray for a year and it feels like forever. And it's like, God, where are you? But then I'm reminded that, there was 40 years. Moses was going to get the people out, and he did it on his own, and then he had to go away for 40 years. And then he comes back, and they lead him out. So God's not, he's not uptight about taking his time, preparing us for the next step. David was anointed king, and then he ran from Saul for 12 years before he ever became king. Like, the previous king was trying to kill him. Even 6 years, 6 months, I'd be like, I don't think I'm supposed to be the king. I think this is messed up. I'm not going to do it anymore. So my point is, there's risk and there's trust, and it doesn't always happen according to our timelines, but God is with you, and he's for you, and he wants to lead you into the desires of your heart. Because what you find out is, and what you know is that this builds trust and love and hope, but you are the desire of his heart, that he really delights in. And he delights in all the little things you do, taking care of the kids, loving each other, delivering meals to Joyce, you know, praying for one another, praying for, like, these are things that we're called to do now. And he delights in it. He delights in you because he's restoring you. He's giving you back work, not just for money, not just for meaning and purpose, not to overwork or to become lazy, but to love your neighbor. This is how we love each other. So don't be scared about your job, Lowry. You know, we talk about when you're a kid, it's very scary. I got kids who are like thinking about college. And college means work. And work means money. And money means that's how you live. And if these kids can't live, we're going to cut them sooner. And then the kids, like, absorbing all this pressure, like, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Choose what you want to be. I like music. No, that's stupid. Okay, I'm always good at drawing pictures. No, you can't draw pictures. A real job. I don't know. It's hard. It's a lot of pressure. And then in our culture, we don't give anybody time. And so if we can start to reorient and say, hey, who are you? Let's go to God and say, God, who am I? Help me to own myself. Like, I am good at music. I like music. Well, you can't be a rock star. No, I mean, well, maybe I can use music in other ways. I don't know. Maybe I can trust the Lord and just explore. You know, we can allow ourselves to explore and not be so much pressure because God has absorbed the pressure. Jesus Christ has taken the pressure. You're free to fail. Oh, that doesn't feel right, Adam. You're free to fail. You might have some hungry nights, but you have enough friends to float you. But even then, have you ever known anybody to go hungry? I haven't known anybody who's trusted the Lord and been like, just forgotten. Maybe that's risky. I'm sure there have been some people, but I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure of anything anymore. We can trust the Lord because he loves you. Jesus does the work. And then you're free to move into the places where you have energy and you have desire. And it's pretty free. It's pretty great. I have to do this especially for Joe Fana. So while I was in Italy, I sought out a music store and I bought a new little guitar, like a classical one, right? And then, like, for what reason? Because I wanted to, right? Just because that's who I am. And I wanted to get something cool, and so it's a different one. And then I was like, instead of going on all these tourist things, I was like, you know what? I want to learn a song. I just want to, so I listened to this one song, and that's the way I learn music. I can listen to it, and then just, like, pick it out. And so, maybe you recognize this for Joe. The Godfather. That's a lot of tune. I learned more out of tune right now. And I did more. Right. Why would I do that? So I can play it for you? Because I just love it. It's who I am. And I filled up like 2 afternoons doing that. And my wife heard it. I'm looking over. It's just who I am. That's what I wanted to do. I just did it. It's in front of me. And I'm glad I did. This is how God is. He created you. He's glad he created you. It's not for some big grand reason. He's not using you to save the world. He'll use you to save the world a little bit. You won't even know it. Because you'll walk into good works prepared beforehand for it. He just did it because he loves you. And now you're free to do the things you love because you have a father who's with you and you have his son who's done all the heavy lifting. I don't know, I love that. So we have so much more to grow into. We have so many more adventures to go on with God because he delights in you. Father, thank you. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And we repent of how easily we want to wrestle and prove to you that we deserve good things, or work hard with you, or try to do all these things. We repent, and we say, thank you, Jesus, for doing all the work. And we ask that you would lead us into places where we have energy, where we want to solve puzzles. We want to figure out the notes. We want to provide. We want to enjoy work and vocation because we're free to engage it. The curse has been lifted by you. Thank you. But we need daily to come back to you and daily say, Lord, I'm tempted to try and figure this out on my own. So, Father, would you minister to us, and even by the Lord's Supper, especially by the Lord's Supper, where your promise is, believe. I will die. I will rise again. I will shed my blood. I will work. In Jesus' name, amen.